Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today, we are talking about the Eagle on Holiday. Yeah, taking your calls for readings. 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Please do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. And we would love it if you joined us on Facebook and on Twitter and here on Blog Talk Radio. Those accounts can be found on our Blog Talk Radio profile. And that's it. So we're talking about the ego on holiday.
Yes.
It's a holiday week.
Holiday.
Not your ego during the holiday week, but.
You know, we think of holidays during the year, but I was big movie fan and stuff, and there was a movie called Death Takes a Holiday. And that actually had more effect and impact on me, that word, in that phrase, than Christmas holiday. I mean, Christmas holidays are nice and the atmosphere and everything. But the holiday itself, the word holiday is, there was a movie, Death Takes a Holiday. And I believe there was a novel too, Detective.
What's the plot?
You know,
briefly.
You know, I saw it so long ago that.
Why?
It was a murder mystery. It was a detective mystery. Death Takes a Holiday, or what? I can't remember if it's that or that. Nobody died on that one particular day. It might have been a fantasy. I don't recall the plot as much as I do the
title,
but it was one of the two. Either it's a detective or. That nobody died that day. I can't. There were so many movies and fantasies going on.
Either death overtook the holiday or death didn't happen like on a specific holiday.
Yeah.
But you can't remember which. Okay. Well,
it's actually a corruption of the word holy.
Holy day, yeah.
Holy day. So it's a day with, and it's arranged from the idea that the seventh day is the day of rest. So the holy day, the seventh day, is the day that God stops his work and takes a rest.
Which is Saturday, actually, not really Sunday. I think now we consider Sunday. Sunday usually is, I mean, Christians, Jews, it's Saturday. Christians, it's Sunday.
More or less Sunday.
Yeah.
Because we start the.
But that would be the first day of the week, Sunday, rather than the seventh day, Saturday.
Yeah. And obviously,
unless you're counting from Monday.
Holy days, but this day of sanctity is more or less considered the holiday, the day God took rest, which even when I was a kid, it didn't make sense to me. What? God got tired? It was like a notion, a kind of an existential examination of God.
Yeah, he was really exhausted after creating the world.
So what did that really mean, to take a rest? What it means is to take a rest from work that we all get, supposedly we all get one day out of the week where we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry at all.
Wow.
But of course, logic tells us that, well, on that day, we still have to worry. We still have to work. Why? Well, first of all, we wake up and we start thinking. That's work. Most of us end up on Sundays doing things around the house. That's work. some of us travel.
And if you're children or animals, you are taking care of your kids 7 days
so
a week.
So work is there. And it's not to say that it's like a free-for-all. Well, the holiday, Sunday, the holiday, we can do whatever we want. You can't do whatever you
well,
want.
And now, you do. But even in, 20 years ago, Sundays were a slower day than they are now. I mean, businesses shut down. More businesses shut down.
Yeah.
I mean, many were open still, but it's gotten even more.
It's sort of deviated.
Now, even on the holidays, businesses are open.
Yeah.
I remember Thanksgiving used to be like everything was shut down on Thanksgiving. Of course, we have Thanksgiving coming up this week, and the stores open at 5. Some of them don't, close
or
open at 6.
It's funny because Sundays...
5 p.m., I mean.
When I was a kid, on Sunday, all the Christians, all the Catholics, they all went to church. And so to me, that's work. You'd get in your car, you have to get dressed up. Everybody was in their little dresses and their white socks, and the boys were all dressed up in their ties and the parents. And you go to church, and you have to sit there and listen to a sermon. That's work.
Yeah, it was work.
It was work.
For me, I did not like listening to the homilies at all. I'd be like,
it's the
boring.
Idea that you don't go to work. You don't go to your regular work. But still, what you're supposed to do, you observe the Sabbath or you observe the day of rest, the holiday, the Sunday. You listen to a sermon or you go through your prayers. That's work. That takes up, in fact, that's probably more work than work because you're using your brain to think of higher things. You have to get up to an element to where you start to ponder and apply rules and regulations and wisdom and what's the meaning of the universe and what's this all about. So we really, it's a matter of work. If it wasn't, then we would say that every professor in a university, it doesn't work because he's thinking. Well, it is work. And I think it's of a noble quality of work. It's a higher element of work. So when we talk about a holiday, and then after that, you go home, and then back in the old days, the ladies would have to cook, and there's work and dishes. It's work. Who talked about it? Do we ever not have work? For myself, I work 7 days a week. We work 7 days a week. I don't know.
Well,
what
I would
day,
like Sundays off.
I don't know what it is. But I don't, by choice, I don't feel, it's hard for me to just sit and do nothing. I just sit. I mean, if I sit and do nothing, I pick up a book, I watch a movie.
Well, that's.
You know,
right, but that's, if we're talking about reading or maybe watching a movie, not really.
No,
it's a mode of relax. It's not physical labor. Mind may be working, but your body doesn't necessarily need to work if you're reading a book.
I had a neighbor that he approached me from up the sidewalk, and he was sweating and panting. And could hardly hold his breath. His shirt was drenched in sweat. I said, "What's wrong?" He goes, "Oh, it's my day off. I went for a run." I'm like,
but...
well, good. I mean, work. When you really think about it, we take for granted the English language, and we really don't understand what it really means. Because there really are no holidays.
Right, and you talk about going to... Thank you. You're taking... You took my thought. I was about to go there. It's true. Man, traveling these days, too, with the airports and what you have to do to prepare your luggage, and you can't bring this on, and you're going through security, and you have to go on a plane, which is like a petri dish of germs, and it's exhausting, and you need a vacation from your vacation once you're done.
Chris and I, we decided to take a day off. We went to Disneyland. Oh, if that wasn't work, hours. There was
because we had passes
for a year. We were an
hour
and a half in traffic.
Oh, that was like.
Then you get on the stupid, you got to wait for the tram. Everybody's in line. You're waiting for the tram. Then you're on the tram. You get off the tram. Then you got to go through security. What? You got to go through security? Then you got to go through security. Then you're waiting in line. you know, four rides over 8 hours because you're waiting in line. There's crowds, there's sweat.
Yeah, then you get home and all the things that we have to do in our routine at nightly, we have to do after we get home. And you're filthy. I mean, it's filthy.
You're filthy.
Disneyland is,
Christy,
you know.
Goes, oh, get me a lemonade. I go,
no,
well,
get me a lemonade.
As an example, get a drink. So you think you're going to go up to the stand, get a drink? You're waiting in an hour to get a drink.
Yeah, that's
you're,
true.
That's
a lot of the time, though, when we would go, we would just sit and watch people. This is,
yeah,
and it's like, how much are we paying to sit and
watch
people? We could go sit in the park and do
we
it for
go
free.
To the mall. So, you know, okay, so what's the point of all this? The point is that we tend to think that we are on the earth as a holiday. What I mean to say by that is most of us, not all of us, but the majority of us tend to think that we don't have karma. You know, we mention karma like, oh, well, he'll get his karma, you know, he'll get his when there's an incident or an accident. We just heard a spirit. And so we tend to use that word in isolated episodes.
Right. So like, exactly. So people are mistakenly think that if they lead a life that is decent, then they avoid karma. Well, I mean, that's ridiculous. It's not like you only receive karma when you commit a bad act. You're on the planet because of karma. And living a life where being on holiday, I mean, there are people that I know that think that, you know, life is about how many musical, you know, or concerts you see, how many performers, legendary performers you see, or how many great meals you have. I mean, that's creating karma, actually.
Well, I mean, we can enjoy the planet. There's many things we can do to enjoy the planet.
Right, but
overall,
that's not the depth of what you're supposed to be doing on the planet. I mean, that's a part of it, yes, but there's more to do than just seek pleasure on the planet.
Well,
or go to, different countries or whatever it is. Go ahead.
The thought behind the thought is when we look at our lives individually and we think, oh, I got to do this, I got to do this, I have this to do. That's not to say that that isn't karma, that we're paying off a certain amount of karma. One person says to the other, oh, I wish I was you. You know, I have to work every day. Boy, you got your inheritance. You sit by the pool. What sometimes when we look at the idea that life is whether we get something or we don't get anything, and it's in regard to karma. There's an example biblically. There's an example of the worker saying to the owner of the land, "I've worked for you all day long, and you pay me at the end of the day." And this fella came along. And he only worked 2 hours and you gave him the same pay. Now, the parable there is that you don't, the owner says, what do you care what I pay somebody else? Now, you may say that's social injustice or inequality, you know, some kind of inequality or something. But the reasoning behind that is we cannot really, when we're educated in the element of spirituality, compare our lot to somebody else's, or our hard time to somebody else's. If we grasp the concept of karma, you accept your karma. It doesn't mean you can't try to change it.
Right.
Of course you can.
And being proactive and trying to change your physical circumstances and get yourself out of poverty or educate yourself. Those are all admirable efforts.
Absolutely, they are. You know, somebody who is dirt poor, what was it? Michelle
Obama
was saying that she didn't grow up in riches, and her Christmas present was hard candy. That, you know, they got hard candy to eat at Christmas. I think I'm saying the right one. I think I'm talking about the right person. Recently read this. But if I'm not...
I haven't read that.
But
it's a good story anyway.
But, you know, a lot of people, of course, were born in poverty. Abraham Lincoln, a lot of people are born in poverty and raised. We're not talking about that. What we're talking about is that there is an acceptance that what you are in is what you're assigned to be in until further notice or until further effort is made to get yourself out of that.
Right, but that doesn't mean that one should, you know, someone who is wealthy could apply that to themselves and be very egocentric about their wealth and say, well, you know, this is my position in life, and look down on other people as a result, you know, that aren't in their position. We're not talking about that. But what I mean, I just want to further state that people that are really wealthy, sometimes that can be a disadvantage to the spirit. I mean, not always, because there are people that are highly conscious and wealthy. You can have wealth and have a deep spirituality, but it can also be a hindrance, I think, to be wealthy.
Wealth is not a curse. It's a responsibility. So if you're blessed with wealth, you have a responsibility to also take care of others to some extent.
Right,
not being taken advantage of or given free handouts, but you're in a place to where you understand the concept of existence, and if you're abundantly wealthy, then you share your wealth to some extent, and that makes the whole world better. And so the blessing is that you as an individual can give to the world and improve the world because you've been fortunate enough to be wealthy.
But having a consciousness, a humanitarian consciousness, is not necessarily having a spiritual consciousness. So there can be people that are generous, but it doesn't mean they have any concept of being spiritual.
Well, humanitarian concept is not about, you can be very poor, you can be dirt.
Right, but you're talking about, right, but you're saying that, we're talking about wealthy people and being generous with the wealth. That doesn't mean that they're spiritual. That's all I'm saying. Yes,
you can
be a humanitarian and be poor, you can be humanitarian and be wealthy, but humanitarian doesn't mean that you're spiritual. I mean, there's some spiritual consciousness there, but when it gets to the core of spirituality, it's
right.
Lacking. It falls short of
our topic, the ego on holiday. I was reading recently an article about a man who was homeless, had nothing. He was lucky enough to make $8 begging during the day. And he came across a family. They were distressed. They needed gas money, something. And he gave them the money.
Wait, are you talking about what I was just telling you about the story?
What were you telling me?
Well, I don't know what your point is. Do you want to make your point first?
Well, the point is that there are people on the planet who understand the concept of spirit.
The problem with the story is the end of the story, which is that this couple, he gave them their gas, money for gas, because it was his like last dollars, but felt sorry for them because they didn't have any money to get their car going. And what it turns out is that they were all because they started a GoFundMe account for this guy, and there started to be fighting about where the money was going, and they weren't giving him the money. And what ended up happening, actually, sorry to ruin the story, but what ended up happening is it was discovered by law enforcement that they were all conspiring to raise money fraudulently. Hmm. So it wasn't, he didn't really give them the last of his money. Yeah, that's what happened.
But
I guess you stopped reading the article.
Okay, so there's hypocrisy and there's darkness.
But no, I understand your point that there are people that will give the shirt off their back when they have nothing.
Yeah,
to people that are more fortunate.
And they turn the money in that they found on the street. I mean, we know the stories and we know there's hypocrisy and there's corruption. And we also know that there's blessed people on the planet. But the idea of the ego on holiday is that we tend to forget why we are really down here. That it's okay to enjoy the planet and to relish and be involved in all the enjoyments we can have down here. But a lot of us take that as the priority over the sense of what the soul's purpose is on the planet. And I just don't mean that that some people, you know, they call the radio show or they're interested in spirituality, but their main life is, you know, their job and where they're going to eat and selfies and contacting and making comments about things in the world. I mean, they forget the true seed of what the soul's purpose is and why the soul is on the planet in a fleshly body.
Sorry, I've got to take a photo of myself, Neil. Hold on.
There's no room left in that thing.
No, for as if. Yeah, because they're filled with your pictures.
Right.
Yours.
But
I think they've probably taken how many photos of me in your life? Zero.
What are my pictures do on your phone? So,
exactly.
I don't even know how to work it. What are those called? iPhones?
iPhone. You thought iPhone. It was EYE phone. It's so cute.
I don't know what it was.
Okay.
But what I think what's important is that we misconstrue the word ego and holiday with events where we sort of take a leave of absence. And I for one, don't believe in taking a leave of absence. I think that every day is a day filled with work and attention and responsibility.
Yeah, we have different views on that. No, I mean, we both have attention and responsibility, and we're both very, very work-oriented, I think. I think it's nice to take a little time off. But.
No, I'm not talking about taking time off. What I'm talking about is the sense of that the mind is released from any sense of responsibility. And I think when you really look at it, a lot of human beings tend to lose a sense of responsibility.
Well, and purpose, I think,
because they
is
get
part
too much
of that.
To their ego. And they think, this is a day for me. I'm taking a day for me. Well, I mean, that's fine. Because in a general sense, it makes sense. You want a day off. It's just for me. Nobody bothers me. I'm just going to sit and do this or do that or go here. I'm taking a day for myself. And I think it's important and healthy for the self to connect to the self and be exclusively sacred in that sacred space. I'm not saying that that isn't important. What I'm saying is that is in the general category of existence, we tend to think that our egos can go on holiday, and there's no word about the soul there. Now, I know I'm getting nitpicky here, but we're trying to bring up the idea of what is the soul's responsibility on the planet. We're really only here for a brief time, and believe me, when you get older, it doesn't get longer.
It gets shorter.
Seems brief. It does seem brief. It's like you're going through a movie and all the scenes are collecting at once in 5 minutes.
Well, I mean, I think even someone in their 30s can tell the difference between how time would pass as like a 6 or 7 year old. I mean, 3 months seems like an eternity. Summer,
you know,
you think, wow, I'm off forever.
When you're a kid,
once you get a little bit older, it's like, you know, time really flies.
When I was a kid, But at the end of summer, I think back on what the summer was like. I think, God, it's been so long. Oh, my God. I mean, I'd be aggravated that school was starting. But I would think, oh, God, it's summer. Now, the summer is like I woke up, I went to bed, I woke up, and the summer's over. It's almost the sense in the mind of time changes as you get older.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know if it's about the molecular structure of the brain or we're more mature, but the idea, I think there's a built-in chip in the brain that states life is short, life is brief. And the closer you get to the edge of physical life ending, the more you come to realize that it's not life that's important, it's eternity. And the sense of eternity.
Right. So if you're filling your life with activities because you feel life is too short, then you're missing the bigger picture of why you're down here. I mean, again, enjoying the pleasures of life, I certainly like to enjoy the pleasures of life. I really do. But luckily, I have a sense of a larger purpose
Oh, I think if you don't enjoy the pleasures of life, you missed the point of the earth. I think we're here to enjoy the obviously.
But there has to be a balance of, you know, that's the pleasures of life aren't it. That's not it. And I have a good friend who, you know, that's really the core essence of this person is. So, I mean, I'm speaking of someone that I know that is very much involved in pleasure seeking, does a great job in terms of helping others, but still falls short.
Yeah, you talk about there's a movie called The Pleasure Seekers with Anne Margaret, Robert Forsythe, Carol Lindley, about the pleasure seekers, people who just seek pleasure in life. I mean, I know for one, we can have a full day of work, but I can, for instance, look up in the sky and see a bird see a bird migrating, a stork or a duck or something, and for a moment take such pleasure in the amazing factor of that, that it feels like I was suddenly on holiday. I mean, it doesn't take, I mean, at least in my individual moments, it doesn't take much to understand and grasp the concept of the appreciation of life. There's a movie, All Quiet on the Western Front, wherein the German soldier in the course of battle sees a flower growing on the battlefield and reaches towards the flower to appreciate the flower, not pull it, but just to touch it in the midst of battle. And therein, as he's leaning over, he's shot in no man's land, more or less. And that is a very, very famous World War I book, one of the greatest war novels ever written, and then made into a decent movie, the first movie, of course. There was other movies made, but the very first one by Milestone, Lewis Milestone, it was a great movie.
It was a milestone.
And the idea is that to appreciate the essence of life can be but a second, and death can come in a second. But the duration of life can be a lifetime of turmoil, troubles, pains, you know, our callers who call with problems. A lot of people, you know, come to think of it, most people who go to psychics are people in trouble. They're in trouble and they go to psychics for insight.
Well,
now,
some may
go to it for enjoyment, and
right,
some may even go for
novelty,
spiritual nourishment.
Rarely.
But after 60 years, some years of doing this work, I can say verbatim that most people come to psychics because they're in trouble.
Trouble, and it's varying degrees of trouble. It doesn't mean that everybody's in complete crisis and their life's falling apart, but it could be trouble in a job or trouble in a relationship or, you know, and then it gets deeper from there.
So the
varying
idea is,
degrees,
you know,
of trouble.
I mean, in my evaluation, I've noticed that people who have utilized our services, some of them are in fact really on the path of looking at the essence of spirituality. It's a small fraction indeed. And I don't know, maybe there's other psychics or readers out there that can speak in different terms. And I'm not to say that there aren't people who have come for enlightenment and have taught classes and done all kinds of forms and stuff where people are just seeking spiritual nourishment and knowledge. But for the most part, when people come for a private session or a reading or call the show, they are basically, they want to know something about a life concerning their ego. And that's not to minimize the importance of it, but it's not in the essence of true spirituality. That's not what true spirituality is. True spirituality is not, what do you see in my relationship, or what do you see going on in my job, or will I move? That has nothing to do with spirituality. Of course, you're seeking somebody's advice that might have insight or a capability to see into the future and to give one who wants a response, to give that a proper response or whatever the answer may be. But that has nothing to do with spirituality. And those are still questions of concern to the ego. It has nothing to do with spirituality. Now, if someone says, I want to know the nature of existence. I'm looking for what is life like in the astral realm? Why am I down here? What is my purpose? What must I do to improve the energy of my soul? Now, sometimes in our experience, what do we hear? Burn a candle. You should meditate more. Here's a good book to read. We don't really get, it's very difficult, even for this speaker, to really get into the essence, the real nature of why we're on this planet, except for the fact that we have a responsibility to do something. Maybe our destiny is to raise a family. Maybe our destiny is to be a psychic reader. But is that really the purpose? What is the true purpose? So the question that's really asked in terms of the ego being on holiday, the real question is, what happens after this brief life is over? And to what extent does the spirit seek the kind of nourishment it needs while it's on the planet? Because the spirit and the soul, at least in this discussion, are the ones crossing over, not the body and not the ego. You're not crossing over with your photos. You're not crossing over with what you ate and what you took a picture of while you were eating, where you went on holiday, what movie you saw, what book you read. That is not what you're crossing over with. Indeed, maybe some part of the consciousness may absorb some of those experiences, but that's not the true purpose. So now we have to get into the depth of the great philosophers who have pondered these questions. Not the doctors who try to prolong life and maintain our physicality, or the psychologists who try to prolong our mental state so there's some sense of balance and equilibrium between our ego, our superego, our id, and the way we live and work on the planet, but the soul. So what do? We talk to the rabbis, we talk to the priests, the pastors, we talk to the great intellectual thinkers and the philosophers, and we start to ponder what is the essence of existence apart from the ego. And that's, I think, the question, since we have time on this show to discuss, what is the nature of existence? The nature of, not the nature of life, not the nature of our physicality, which we know would include the appreciation of nature. There are many people who just are in awe of nature, and they become biologists, naturalists, conservationists, but the idea of what is the nature of the spirit. And that's very hard. It's not an easy question to answer in terms of one's life without thinking, have I excluded myself from the ego? So I think that when we talk about the ego being on holiday and we have time to go into these deeper discussions of our purpose, It gets really baffling. I mean, if we look at somebody who is a very good citizen and raises a family and they're great, and you read the obituary, oh, they laughed, oh, they loved to travel, oh, they were the greatest person, oh, they'd give the shirt off their back. They love chemistry, they love stamp collecting, they love kayaking, whatever it may be. But what about the people that have nobody, they're single, and they devoted their life to a cause? That's all they've done. There's no merits, there's no medals. They're almost unmentionable. Decided to just give their life to a cause, whether it's they go to another country, or they are just so devoted that they spend their whole life seeking the element of of elevating some oppressed person or endangered species of animal. So we get into this idea of the essence of life, and we have to ultimately come to the conclusion, how much of that is in the ego?
So, you know, I wanted to bring up something because actually yesterday was, how many years has it been? 40 years, is it? Since the massacre in Jonestown yesterday, November 18th. And, you know, it's interesting because we're talking about devoting yourself to a purpose. And, you know, these people that followed Jim Jones, you know, a lot of, you know, many people don't really know the details about what happened, haven't researched. And, they, you know, this euphemism, drink the Kool-Aid, has emerged from this very tragic event where they actually weren't drinking Kool-Aid. It was Flavor-Aid, a cheap knockoff of Kool-Aid that was laced with cyanide. But, you know, talking about social consciousness, Jim Jones gathered followers because he was an integrationist. You know, he believed in equality, well, according to what he preached, for all people. And this is why he attracted such a strong following. And what happened was these people, many of them were very educated, some of them poor, not as educated, but these people with money donated their money to the church, followed him to Jonestown. And what it ended up being was like, once they got there, it was like, surprise, the madman came out. And so what he had disguised as far as his mental illnesses really emerged in Jonestown. And as we know, over 900 people died there. But when you talk about you're devoting yourself to a cause, you know, these people were really well-intentioned. And we talk about social consciousness. I mean, he was, Jim Jones essentially espoused communist ideology and living equally. Of course, as it turns out, Jim Jones himself wasn't, you know, like many, many despots, afforded himself wealth and privileges that were not afforded to his followers, you know. But these are people that devoted themselves to a cause and actually really gave up a lot to be part of a greater cause. And what they believed was a spirituality, a group of spiritual beings aligning together for a general purpose, but they all died. So, you know, I mean, what do you...
Well, he was a complete maniac.
Obviously, he was a complete maniac.
What his final statement, one of his final statements was that he was going to rise above the idea of death by calling on a massive level, revolutionary suicide.
Suicide, right.
And so revolutionary suicide, in contrast to one's response to an inhumane world by forcing, compelling, under machetes and machine guns, that people must drink poison and die for the sake of making a statement
to the world as if it was going, it shows such a lack of understanding about how the world works and why the world is in existence. I mean, suicide is not going to change the way the world is structured if it's based on karma. So he clearly was, uneducated. And they say that really in terms of knowing scripture, he was not, he was really not teaching the Bible. It was his own brand of craziness.
Well, you know, Christ on the cross didn't look it down on everybody and say, I have one last thing to say to everybody, commit suicide. Suicide is an expression of that. It's the antithesis of godly thought, that we actually take within our own hands the idea that we can murder ourselves.
Right.
We have a right to do
that. But let's be clear and state that it really wasn't mass suicide. It was mass murder. I mean, people were under great duress. I mean, you would have died no matter what down there.
No, it was a euphemism. There was a reference that it was going to be revolutionary suicide because they had formulated this idea that they could be on this island and it would be free of the world and they would would have this sort of paradise. We know what happens to the idea of a paradise. It can not only burn down, but
right.
you can have well, now the jungle's taken over the entire Jonestown.
Yeah.
And there's nothing left there.
But these were good people, principled people, people that wanted to make a change in the world. And we're talking about, being a humanitarian. I think that many, many, many of these people that were there had a higher consciousness in some regards than people that are, living in capitalist America.
The phrase is that woe to the magnitudes that commit a sin, but it's far worse for those who lead the magnitudes into some kind of darkness. It's better if they put a millstone around their neck, threw themselves in the ocean. So have you come under the influence of a crazy despot, a crazy maniacal person? Then you fall under their spell. There's still a responsibility, which is called resistance. Now we had resistance in the war. We had the resistance within the World War II. But the idea of resistance, if people were in fear of being killed by resisting in order to promote life and to save people, they all were so afraid of being killed during that, they were more willing to go
right.
to their deaths. It doesn't mean that people didn't struggle.
But people did escape. People struggled, yes, and people did escape before. This is why they had the congressional inquiry, Leo Ryan and his crew and the press that went to Guyana and investigated and ultimately resulted in the deaths of several of the
right.
party. So there were people that escaped, but I mean, it was like
now we get into the moral ambiguity of escape, because if those who escaped with their own lives, what do we say about those people turning back and saying, I can't escape with my own life, I must go back and resist?
I just want to give some right, but there were people that resisted there, and then they were put into they were drugged and put into like medical units and put into a coma, buried alive. I mean, there was a lot of violence prior to the mass quote unquote suicide.
There's always individual acts, but we're talking about the broad stage of what it is to be alive and not to sacrifice one's life into sheer stupidity and just following the masses into a meaningless thing. There are many people who watch their own wives and or husbands and children killed before their very eyes. And cyanide was not cyanide ultimately results in the suffocation of the body. So can you imagine, you're foaming at the mouth, you can't breathe? It wasn't an easy death for these people. They were all lined up like they were asleep.
Right, and they were injecting people that resisted, and of course they killed the children first. And so talking about the children there, I mean, my goodness, obviously this was a heavy tribal karma, and you think about why they're all in this foreign land, removed from their home of origin, and why they all died in that place together, a tribal karma. Okay.
But we don't want to get too far off the topic, because Jonestown, I mean, how do we relate this?
Well, that was my point about, again, we are getting off topic, getting into the whole the details about how people died and karma and blah, blah, blah. But these were people largely that were dedicated to what they thought was a better purpose. And when you hear the survivors from this, that people that were in Jonestown and escaped, they say, there were elements of it that were really wonderful because of the intention of the people that were there. So, And talking about the ego, many of these people sacrificed their ego by living in a socialist environment with others, trying to live for a higher purpose. So,
right. I mean, the idea of socialism as opposed to capitalism or communism or democracy, those are constructs.
Physical constructs.
They're physical constructs of how we organize life, how we organize groups of people and categorize them, put them into one lump sum and try to have the ultimate wealth distributed evenly, or that we have capitalists, and then the account of the capitalists is they support the society. It's in essence because they're paying the higher taxes and they're employing the people and they live in the big home, but they also supply you with jobs because they have factories and things like that. I mean, we're getting to the idea, this is all a matter of earthly survival. We're not talking about...
It is.
We're trying to get into the idea of the ego on the ego taking a holiday and what the essence of a holiday is and what the essence of an ego is. Essentially, both words and spirituality should be wiped off the map of spirituality. There is no holiday in spirituality and there is no ego. And we don't separate there is no division. You don't break down the concept of spirituality into group factors and group theories. The essence of spirituality is a wholeness that I don't know as a human species we've even achieved. Some of us have come close to conceptualizing what spirituality is. But everything that we has been conceptualized about spirituality has been criticized and broken down into diverse.
Well, I mean, but we talk about categorizing in look how we divide into religions, and that's a physical, you know, manifestation.
Yeah, I mean, we have the war of religions, which is prompted and motivated by politics and economics and things like this and power. And what is really feared? I mean, what was it, you know, in terms of the church having a fear of the people having power and how the church came into play. I mean, the concept, quote, the church, that it was a control factor.
And I'm not advocating socialism necessarily, but people that are socialist or believe in those principles are trying to even the playing field and perhaps stripping themselves of, the trappings of wealth so that they are able to become more centered in their spirit.
Well, we're bringing back the idea of Jonestown. If we look at Jonestown in its elevated concept that we have to get out of the world in order to experience spirituality, we have to find some island or have some commune.
Which is not, obviously, not true. You can reach a spiritual essence without removing yourself from society.
The universe of spirituality is within yourself. Thy own eye, E-Y-E. You talk about eye.
Single eye.
And we're talking about the single eye, which means the eye of the spirit, the eye of the transcendent self. And the transcendent self is merely that self that is that the main concern of the transcendent self is spirituality, and the idea of the epitome of what spirituality is, which I don't think we really, none of us in our physical bodies can really grasp it. There are noteworthy examples of spirituality in the human form, but to say, has anyone really reached spirituality? I mean, everyone is flawed. Everyone has their limitations, but some of us are able to reach high enough in human thought to conceptualize what spirituality might mean. You know, we're talking about the Gandhis and the Martin Luther
King. Right,
Kings.
But look at, I mean, people that, you know, go devote their lives to, you know, or like in Tibet, they're monks and they isolate themselves from the world. So if we're comparing the people in Jonestown to people that are monks, maybe, you know, the monks aren't committing mass suicide, but the intention of isolating the self and getting away from the world was the same with those people. I mean, I think many of them were well-intentioned.
And you know, I mean, and it gets confusing because spirituality sometimes is drowned by the idea of the human struggle for existence, you know, the state of Israel, the independence from America from the British, the idea of Martin Luther King and the civil rights of that terminology, Negroes, back in those days. The idea that we are here with a social purpose or a purpose to defend a country, our independence is very important. And I think sometimes independence is wrapped around the idea that it's a culturally induced theme. Well, you know, when you look at, you know, most of us, not all of us, but many of us are enthralled with the idea of the American flag. When we look at the American flag and we look at that, we look at that with a sense of awe and inspiration for what it represents. But then there are those who would criticize the American flag
because of the hypocrisies of
our country. And that there isn't true equality. And even though the colonies have been unionized and there are states, and each state is independent in its governorship, but yet they're all united together into the United States of America. And then we have this flag waving, and we look at it, and we're inspired by it, and we feel our spirit rising when we see it.
On a side note, don't fly a flag off a truck. But anyway, that's desecrating the flag. If you want to respect the flag, don't do that. But go ahead.
but then the idea is, you know, then we get into the idea of when we break it down and we really look at the essence of what is the spirit, the true spirit in action form. That our country is comprised of, and we start to see injustices. Now we get into the idea of causes, and causes are different than spirit.
Right.
Causes are important, and we need to defend them and fight for them. But we're still getting into the idea of what is spirituality stripped of humanity?
Right.
In essence.
And I think many of those people, bring back to Jonestown again, were part of, you know, striving for a cause and fell short, obviously fell short, or they wouldn't have died of actualizing a true spiritual essence. So.
Well, in some form, spirituality is the embracement of the mind in terms of the true essence of existence, and that is the appreciation of life in all forms, all nationalities, all forms. I mean, for Kristen and I, it goes down, we save little tiny spiders we find. Everything is a marvel of nature, and maybe there is spirituality in the fact that if it is alive, it is sacred.
Yeah. Okay, we're out of time, and we are back on air on Tuesday tomorrow at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, and nice to have this time to be able to have a full-fledged conversation. Maybe we'll do a different topic tomorrow, Neil, instead of continuing this, or maybe some more callers. Thanks for joining us, everyone. Bye-bye.